Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Friday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD. TD, what's going on? How are we doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're great. Good. Appreciate you taking time. Before we get into the Titans, I'm curious for your thoughts on the Kyler Murray extension. 5 years, $230 million, $160 million guaranteed. So he didn't get it fully guaranteed, like Deshaun Watson, which still baffles me from Cleveland's perspective. But what did you make of that contract extension for Kyler Murray and what that means for the quarterback market moving forward?
Yeah, well, I'll let you know, once a team feels they found their guy, they're going to pay him. That's for sure. And Kyler Murray, he got a really good deal. I think it's just a testament to the relationship that he has with Coach Kingsbury, and this is proof of it.
So, TD, also on the, I guess, on the contract front with other teams, but it's a little bit more related to the Titans. You know, Debo Samuel and the 49ers, it looks like, you know, it's headed toward cooler heads prevailing and maybe a deal getting done and, you know, a great player staying with his original franchise. I know, first of all, Titans fans are going to be watching A.J. Brown every week, but, at some point, like, you focus on your own team, but I do think that's going to be a side story all year. When you look at that situation, does it make you feel any differently about the A.J. Brown situation?
No, it doesn't. I mean, it's a case-by-case thing, and it just – it got to a point where we know what happened, right? The two heads couldn't meet, and that's where we ended up. So I think it doesn't change anything. It's good for the 49ers, right, because you'd like to see a guy stay in a place where he was productive. So that's really the way I look at it.
TD, how do you feel about Tannehill heading into training camp? With everything that's happened this offseason, you know, obviously the last time we saw him play a game was the Cincinnati game. You've had the mentor gate with Malik Willis, you know, everything that's gone on from the fan base and how their opinion has shifted on him this offseason. How are you feeling about him heading into this training camp with no A.J. Brown at his disposal, again, heading into this year?
Yeah, I think it's one of those years where he really has to prove his worth, and this is a critical year for him. I like the fact that he is bouncing back from a situation that he felt, you know, brought him to a real dark place. So he said he's going to have a passion like he hasn't had before for winning. So we'll see what happens. I think it's going to be a good situation for him, you know, working with some of the tight ends that they've gotten in the mix. And, you know, I just want to see how that thing with Robert Woods and Treylon Burks works as well. So it's a good situation for him, in my opinion.
If you had to pick one individual storyline as camp gets set to start here, TD, that is bigger than any other, what would it be?
Well, I think, you know, Tannehill proving that he could win in the postseason. But I'm going to go with Derrick Henry and just Derrick Henry proving the doubters wrong, proving that he could come back and still do what he was doing before he got hurt. That's probably the biggest story, in my opinion. But there's so many.
Teron Davenport on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, TD, I'm looking at this team, and Mike Vrabel has typically been a guy that in the preseason, you're not getting a whole lot of work if you're the starters in terms of the actual games itself. But I do wonder, with a guy like Treylon Burks, with a guy like, you know, maybe Caleb Farley, who could potentially be a starter for the Titans this year, do you think that philosophy changes at all heading into this preseason, given the fact that those guys probably need all the reps that they can get?
Yeah, I think it does change some as far as Burks is concerned. But, I mean, he is a rookie, so you're going to want to get that work anyway. The Farley situation is kind of unique because you want to get him the reps, but you want to make sure that his progress continues to come along. And one thing that you have to look at is just the luxury of having these joint practices, right? So he's going to get to go against Mike Evans and the crew again, Chris Godwin. He's going to get to go against guys like DeAndre Hopkins, Hollywood Brown, and all that crew there in Arizona, you know. So, and I know Hopkins is suspended when the season starts, but he's still going to be able to take part in training camp. So you'll be able to get some reps there. So I think that's where you'll get some value.
So I know we've talked about this before, TD, but now that it's here, do you think that we're going to hear another name, another veteran, either, I guess it could be receiver, offensive line, or I guess another spot too, potentially? You know, they're a little light on depth at some other spots during camp. Do you think John Robinson will be active in that way?
I think it depends on how things work with, you know, the guys that are there. God forbid an injury, then you'll surely see somebody come in. I don't think, you know, it's something that'll happen if everything goes smoothly, because in my opinion, if they were going to bring somebody in, they would have done that already. They want that person there, you know, from the start of camp. And I think, you know, when you look at some of the guys out there, Cole Beasley, Will Fuller, these are options. But I think they would have already been in the mix.
TD, to that point, are you surprised that Julio Jones hasn't ended up anywhere yet at this point?
Not really. I mean, there were some conversations about him ending up in Indianapolis, right, to get reunited with Matt Ryan. But, you know, that hasn't happened. So I'm not really surprised, no. I mean, it's just one of those things where you have a guy who, you know, isn't the same as he used to be. So that desire for him is not going to be the same, that value.
Yeah, but I still got, like, he's going to be somewhere, right? Like if he could bottle up what he did, you know, in Seattle, Houston. I know we just saw glimpses of it last year, but, like, surely someone's going to pick him up here, right?
I can't say surely. I mean, it's another one of those situations where it's just like, okay, we need a spot. This is a guy on the short list. Let's make it happen. I think that's really how it is, and I don't think it's a foregone conclusion, you know. Because remember, look at Kenny Vaccaro, right? When he was available to the Titans, I mean, that was only a week into camp, and he was a really solid player. You know, sometimes it just works that way where guys are just on the market and just waiting.
Teron Davenport on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So TD, I'm interested. We got a glimpse of him last year, and he came in, you know, a little bit more than halfway through the season. But now that he's been here and is getting acclimated with this group and the Titans have made the decision to keep him, your expectations for Zach Cunningham and what he can grow into in this defense alongside David Long Jr. in your mind?
Well, I think those two together are really good for the defense, especially the run defense. But he's not bad in pass defense either. So, you know, that's another area where he could help them out. And just sideline to sideline, that tandem is really good against the run, and I think what he brings just is that violent playing style. I just want to see how comfortable he can be, right, in that scheme now that he's, you know, been in there for a little bit and had a full off season with them.
Yeah, speaking of that front seven, you know, I'm glad we've got football actually starting, so we can stop caring about like lists and stuff. But I do have to ask TD, like I don't know if you saw the Warren Sharp thing. Where'd they have the Titans front seven? 20th?
Number 20.
And I feel like there's a consistent, I guess, underrating of that group, the defense and even the front. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think the Warren Sharp one had something about pressures or something along those lines. And here's the thing. You know, I think stats, they're good, you know, but they don't show everything. And you could tweak a stat any way you want to prove a point. And I think really it comes down to you watch the games and you watch the impact that Titans front has on the defense and on the game period, and you'll see that they are clearly higher than 20th. They're higher than they're in the top 10, in my opinion. So there are a lot of people who, you know, study the game that will say that they're not, but then just the same, there's a lot that say that they are, and I think they belong top 10 because you just watch the effectiveness. And then the other thing is there's a lot of things that they do that aren't measured by, you know, algorithms and formulas. You know what I mean? How many times do you see Jeffrey Simmons forklift an interior lineman back into the quarterback, and the quarterback can't get everything on the throw or has to rush the throw and it's picked up? That doesn't show for Jeffrey Simmons, but guess what? It shows an interception. But when you're looking at these formulas, it doesn't show up in there. So there's a lot to look at. I get a little bothered sometimes when people rely strictly on the stats, because there's a lot behind it.
Yep, I think that's a great point. TD, we appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. We've almost made it. Training camp right around the corner. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, you too. Take care.
Absolutely. Teron Davenport, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll also get Joe's thoughts on the Kyler Murray extension as well coming up next. What did he think of a huge amount of money going Kyler Murray's way? All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025-1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to TD, Teron Davenport, for joining us in the last segment. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Indy Ben texting in says, when did TD get on the Titans payroll? He's literally always half glass half full when it comes to the Titans analysis. Coming from Indy Ben on the text line.
Yep. When I covered Michigan State, Michigan fans, you are such a Michigan State homer. And my buddy Mark Snyder covered Michigan, all the Michigan State fans, you are such a Michigan homer. Indy Ben, I doubt. What's that?
GB Joe.
Yeah, that's right.
Andy Joe.
I'm doubting your objectivity on this, Indy Ben. I don't think TD's always glass full. Glass half full. I mean, he's more glass half full than
Kaharski.
Well, yeah, there you go. That's true. Yeah. Yeah. But I'm quite a bit more glass half full than Kaharski, too.
Sometimes.
Right?
Yeah.
Not all the time. I'm still down on the A.J. Brown trade.
Oh, we remember.
Double thumbs down on that one. Come on, Indy Ben. If you're going to, you know, poor Indy Ben listens to a lot of Titans talk.
He does.
You know, so
we love you, Indy
now,
Ben.
Next time they get crushed on the field, like, you know, in the aftermath of, like, you know, the Bengals playoff game or like the loss of the Cardinals last year. Okay, well, now you're going to hear a lot of glass half empty talk, but especially going into the season with a team. I mean, this is the time for optimism to be rampant everywhere, including with your Colts, Indy Ben.
I'm just so glad it's almost here.
Yes.
I'm so tired of. So when training camp comes around,
it's a very good thing.
We've almost made it. Yes. I do want to ask you the same question I just asked TD though. How are you feeling about Tannehill heading into this year, given the whole thing? The Cincinnati game, he took his best weapon away offensively in the offseason. You got a rookie coming in to replace that weapon who's, at this point, not been able to get on the field. You got the mentor gate with Malik Willis. You potentially drafted his replacement. There's a lot going on with Ryan Tannehill heading into this year. How are you feeling about number 17 heading into this year for the Titans?
God, I forgot about mentor gate. Thanks
for
reminding
You're welcome.
Me. That brilliant bit of discourse.
A couple weeks on that.
Yeah. I feel like Tannehill's going to respond well, and he's going to have a good year. I think he's going to do everything he can do to respond, and he is a good leader. Don't be confused. This is actually some of the commentary, like from Jared, that really bothers me, because he's just wrong, you know. And it's okay to dislike and want Tannehill out of here. But Tannehill's a good leader. That's I don't think that's an arguable point. And I think he'll be a good leader this year. I think he'll play well. The hard part though is, even if he's doing everything that he can do, he may not have enough help around him to make that obvious to us. We may not be able to detect that as well because of some of the things you just laid out there, the receiving core and the offensive line. I mean, those two things are real big. Those are the two biggest question marks on the team. They're both critical to his performance. And number 22 is too. So I kind of agree with TD. I mean, if you had to pick, I actually asked the question poorly. I kind of meant camp story, more like the Farley, Raidens, guys like that territory. But I would probably agree that if you picked one player in this team to have a great year, I mean, you might pick Tannehill, but to me, if Derrick Henry has that, then I like what's probably going to follow with Tannehill. And they're built for Derrick Henry. They need him to have a big year. But I think Tannehill's going to respond. I think they're going to make the playoffs. I think he's going to be good. I think they're going to figure it out on the outside. Austin Hooper is going to be a really nice add. And then I think we're going to be sitting here in a few months saying, okay, January football, can you play it well? Because he's had two straight stinkers. One, destroy the bathroom, everybody stay away for 3 days. One, put the fan on for an hour.
That may have been the greatest description you've given in the history of this program.
Thank you.
615.
We're the only show in town that's going to get that gross about quarterback play.
Cheeks.
615-737-1025. So I'll ask you the same question I asked TD again. I'm just repeating questions here. Or maybe it was you. I can't remember who asked this question. I think it was you that asked this question.
Joe is crying at his own joke right now.
So bad. Make me stop talking,
that
please.
Was unbelievable. It was you that asked this question. I figured it out. Do you believe that John Robinson is done adding to this group heading into camp? Do you think there's still veterans that maybe he's taking a look at? With the information we have now, obviously if somebody gets hurt, that changes. But what do you think is his approach there?
Well, I think on the offensive line, I don't see anyone out there where you're like, oh, yes. Now, it may prove, again, we've talked about this a lot, four guys, all of whom are basically trying to demonstrate that they're good enough to start in the NFL. One of them's a rookie. One of them's a second-year, second-round pick who, I don't think there's a huge gap between those two. But that's not comforting at right tackle, to me. And then, two guys at left guard, a journeyman, young still, and a guy who's been a backup. I could see it happening there if it goes really poorly, but right now I wouldn't expect that. I'm a little more – I would guess more receiver, if anything. But maybe that's also, okay, how's Des Fitzpatrick repping here right from the start of camp? I think he's a big part of that. If they don't feel good about him being able to come into games and give them decent play, then I think they have to look at it. But also, Treylon Burks, obviously, right? Like, if Treylon Burks is still missing time and or isn't picking things up and playing well, then I think you have to look at that veteran group and really think hard about making a move. At this point, I'm going to guess one way or the other, and it may be injury because injuries happen, and they've got some, as TD pointed out, they've got some good, helpful, but also potentially physical practices with a couple different teams. I'm going to guess that he does. There's some veteran who's brought in at some point.
Dennis on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, regardless if Henry comes back as he once was or not, I think they're going to need good production from the second running back. Is that clearly Haskins, or is Hilliard better as a change of pace back? Is coming from Dennis on the text line.
It's a good question. I don't know on Haskins. That's where it's hard. You can get a feel for a lot of guys, the DBs, the receivers, Malik Willis, but I couldn't really tell anything with Haskins in the spring, I think that he's the choice. I think he's the preferred choice. What is happening over here?
Mike sent in a gif of the movie Friday.
I don't want to
the
see
dad.
It.
I can't contain myself right now. Anyway, continue.
I just lost my train of thought. It's a great question. I think the hope is Haskins actually gets some carries and Hilliard is a third down back. But Hilliard had some good carries last year. Maybe you look at it like Haskins, Hilliard competing to get some of those secondary carries.
Well, I think Hilliard for sure is the third down guy right
yeah.
now.
Is he just third down guy?
Right, because, Jeremy McNichols last year was basically a third down guy, and you didn't see him in much other than that until, Derrick Henry got hurt. But that was his role. Is that strictly going to be the role for Hilliard this year? as it's third down and that's what it's going to be? Or is he getting some carries to spell Derrick Henry as well? I mean, honestly, I would, for another draft pick, I'd like for Haskins to have that role. I mean, you were hoping Darrington Evans would work out there, and it didn't. I would like for Haskins to have that role on this team right now.
Well, and I think Haskins is a departure from the Darrington Evans pickup was obviously trying to be a total change of pace from Henry. And you get that to some extent with Hilliard, but Haskins is more the Deontay Foreman idea of if back up a hammer with another hammer.
Yeah.
You know, and just keep pounding on that deal, which I like. I've been saying this forever. If you're going to try to cut down Derrick Henry's production, do it early in games. Defenses are going to be tired in the fourth quarter, whether he actually does all the tiring or not. Then you set aside that fourth quarter for him if you're in a close game, and I bet you they're in a ton of them this year.
What did you make of Kyler Murray's contract? He signs a five-year deal worth $230 million, $160 million guaranteed. So he did not get anywhere close to the fully guaranteed contract that Deshaun Watson did, but I guess the same total number at the end of the day. What did you make of that contract for Kyler Murray? And after going through all this stuff of deleting every evidence of the Arizona Cardinals off his social media, I guess everything has been magically repaired between him and the Cardinals.
Yeah, I would hope so. So the half, that's, I assume that's a, you know, we want to be a little bit more than Deshaun, even though it's not guaranteed, not fully guaranteed.
Yeah. I guess.
Yeah, okay. It's a big number, but honestly, like, you just can't be surprised. You can't be surprised. Just like TD said, if a team thinks they have their quarterback, then they're going to pay. And it's these numbers are going to be ridiculous. And what's Lamar Jackson getting now?
That's a good question. Yesterday was a good day for him.
I mean, to me, it would be absolutely crazy for Lamar Jackson to not get more than Kyler Murray. I understand playoffs. You know, I mean, he has. It's not like he doesn't have a playoff when he has one here in Nashville. To me, like, he's got to be a bit more than that.
I would agree. Now, but also, like, this is why the Deshaun Watson contract is so interesting, because everybody keeps acting like it's an outlier, and maybe it is. But if I'm Lamar Jackson, I'm looking around and saying, well, that's our division. They just gave him 5 years, $230 million fully guaranteed. And guess what? Has he been a league MVP? Nope. I have. Why would you give me any less? Like, that's what I'm saying if I'm Lamar Jackson.
Agree. And maybe he doesn't need an agent to say that. I mean, we just said it for him. It's pretty clear. Then, of course, you after next year, you got Burrow coming up. So
he's going to make a ton of money.
I mean, it's just – that's
and Herbert after that.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. These huge deals – They quickly become deals. Tannehill's going to be bargain of the. Now I know it doesn't feel that way after the playoff game and with the cap hit as big as it is this year. But when that deal's done, we'll see how it plays out. But when that deal's done, I think you're still, even with the playoff game, you're going to have to look back at it and say, not bad.
Joe, I don't even think you'd have to turn on the fan on for that segment right there. We did a pretty good job.
If we got more reaction to this, I'm trying not to look at it.
The Friday GIF is killing me. I got to stop looking at it.
That is such a great movie and scene and
it
character.
Really is. Oh, God. One of my top five favorite characters of all time, any movie.
Michelle?
Oh, love it.
No.
Friday?
Oh, God. Listen, I had even seen a movie you mentioned off air.
Yeah.
Big day.
Friday is it's a must watch, my friends.
Yes, it is.
Apparently so is Office Space.
I would watch. Look, I've not seen Office Space still, so I need to get on that.
Yes.
You're not missing much.
Oh, but just stop.
Is it better than Friday?
Boy.
Two different things.
Yeah, they're both amazing. Yeah. I mean, that's a good one. Yeah, but I'd be interested. I actually want to hear your comparison.
615-737-1025. The Preds make a move yesterday to bring in a top six forward. What does it mean? Where will he fit in? And are they done? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. A lot of votes for Friday being the superior movie on the text line so far.
I'll allow that, but this Office Space, the Office Space slander, I mean, come on, folks.
Secondhand embarrassment.
Mike did say, Mike on the text line says he'll be interested to hear my thoughts on it because he has a feeling it will be top five all time. All time. Top five.
I mean, it's great. The thing is, you don't want to talk anything up too much, which I probably have done anyway.
You already have.
Although it wasn't just me. Like that first day when I found out.
Oh, there was outrage.
There was a lot of text line outrage, right? Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not on an island here. No. I'm not Joe Miltoning this, okay? But so I don't want to talk it up too much. But yeah, man. In fact, I think I need to do a double feature of those two. That'd be a great double feature.
I will watch Friday in Office Space.
Be awesome.
I will.
All right. Okay. We're holding you to that.
8:33 on the 22nd. I will watch it this weekend.
That's today's called shot, and it is going to be fulfilled. You're watching Office Space. All right.
All right.
Maybe you both should, and we can compare notes next week.
We'll see what happens.
I'm going
floating on the river tomorrow, so we'll see what happens.
Oh, nice. Do it after that.
Maybe so. Preds make a move yesterday. Nino Niederreiter signed by the Predators, which, by the way, quick sidebar, really going to love people attempting to pronounce that name and spell it. I've known one of my great callings as a hockey writer. I've known how to spell Nino Niederreiter's name for like 8 years without looking.
Well, I saw that you put it in all caps yesterday on Twitter.
Well, people were struggling with it yesterday.
Well, it's the
I and the E.
It's the I and the E going one way and then going the other way.
Yeah.
Is a bit of an issue. I right now, you know what? I'm not going to look. N-I-E-D-D-E-R-E-I-T-E-R. 1D?
Yeah.
Dang it. So I had the I and the E wrong, right, but I had the D's wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. But saying it, at least, is fine.
Right, yeah.
So we got to win there.
Everybody's
we
just going to call him Nino anyway.
Yeah.
Nino.
Exactly. I on Twitter, I was just calling him Nino N yesterday like during the press conference. So
Niederreiter signs with the Preds. Honestly, Joe, I think it's a really good deal for the Preds. He's 29. He'll be 30 coming up in September, so this will be his 30-year-old season for Niederreiter. A 2-year deal. I thought on the open market he could probably get a 4 or 5-year deal just based on, I mean, look, Vincent Trocheck got a 7-year deal with the Rangers. Andrew Kopp got a 5-year deal with the Red Wings. Like, Nino Niederreiter is in that category of player. So I thought he could get a 4 or 5-year deal. Obviously, he didn't. So he gets a 2-year deal with the Predators. I think the money is really good. I think it's good value. He's about a 20-goal guy every year, anywhere from 45, 55 points, somewhere in that neighborhood usually. And, you know, more than that, he is really good at maintaining possession. He shoots well, and he defends really well. He's a heck of a forechecker. So I think the Predators have significantly upgraded with him in the top six. I like this move. What did you think of the Niederreiter deal yesterday?
Yeah, it's the funny thing about this move is – It comes right after our show ends. Thanks, Preds. Don't think we don't notice.
And I mean about 3 minutes. It was right then.
Yeah. Maybe you should put a banner up for it, huh? Mm-hmm. See, that's why they screw us over on this stuff. I can't stop with the banner jokes. But I feel like if that move would not have happened when there's a total frenzy about trading for Matthew Tkachuk. You know, that like I think it would have been because it's almost like the initial reaction was like, oh, good signing. Is Tkachuk over?
Right.
Like, does that end Tkachuk? So it's sort of not great timing in terms of reaction, but I think it's really good. I'm surprised, as you said, they got him for what they got him. I do like you look at Carolina, of course, Carolina also, they've made some big moves, and they're going. They did lose Trocheck also. And it's interesting to me, like, I guess I'm a little surprised that they wouldn't want to try to bring him back at something like that because he's been a really solid player for them. So, like, you get the thing in your head, like, there's something wrong with him we don't know about? But I don't know. The Preds benefited, and it's another one of those deals that, at least when it's signed, looks pretty team-friendly for David Poile.
I think it's a good deal. It kind of reads to me that maybe Carolina viewed it the way that I viewed it, that maybe they thought he'd get a little bit more out there on the open market. Look, I think Niederreiter thought he would get more on the open market. So, you know, maybe they were thinking somewhere in the neighborhood of a 4-year deal worth $5 million. per year, somewhere in the Grandin range. But he didn't get it, obviously, and I think that works out really well for the Preds. I think a two-year deal makes sense for him, too, because he'll be 32 when that ends. Like, you're not going to make big money at that point when you're 32, but if he has the same type of production the next 2 years, he can sign another two-, three-year deal at pretty good money if you're a need a rider. So it makes sense for him, too, for the two-year deal. And then the cap, hopefully, is going up at that point, too, and maybe you can make a little bit more money. But I think the Predators, for the price, it works out well. I think it's pretty clear based on his comments yesterday at the Zoom that he had and also an article that Alex Doherty of A to Z Sports found. Roman Josi appears to have done some work on this. I mean, obviously, those two have known each other for a long time. Nito Niederreiter has been in the league for a while. I think if you're a Predators fan, you'll probably remember him first from his days in Minnesota, and then he went to Carolina. He was a pain in the butt for the Predators to play against a couple years ago in the playoff series against Carolina, but he's Swiss, so he knows Roman Josi pretty well, and it seems like Roman Josi was pretty influential in this deal getting done.
You know, we haven't talked about this. I wouldn't say I was overly impressed with Alex Doherty's F. Jared tweets.
It was childish.
But I will say that him translating this article and the sentences is, according to Alex Doherty's translation, quote, this is Josi, quote, Nino, if you tell me the minimum amount you want, I'll talk about it with my leaders, end quote. That's redemption for the F. Jared tweets to me. Again, I will take it to my leaders.
I know that Josi didn't say it that way, but, man, it would be awesome if he did. Nino, don't worry, man. I'm going to take this to my leaders, and we'll get this contract done for you. Don't worry.
I mean, this is huge news in the Switzerland hockey world. Right?
Oh, big time.
I mean, you get Niederreiter and Josi, man, big deal. It's pretty amazing to think about that, though, Josi serving as a sort of go-between. It's not like it's the first time that's ever happened in sports, but, you know, that's like super. That's a C-plus on the jersey.
We just love that Josi talked to the leaders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just he's going to take it to the leaders in there.
So, hey, apparently he was, you know, he was going to go to the Ducks.
Yeah.
And he goes to the Preds. So I did see a little Preds-Ducks fan sniping last night, which is fun because it's been years since we've been able to enjoy that.
Yeah.
But I'd say good choice, Nino, in terms of, you know, at least in terms of having a chance to be competitive here.
Well, I think the Predators at this point are clearly a playoff team, you know. And you might say, well, no, duh, they have the same team as they had last year. You know, that doesn't always mean that you're a playoff team. McDonough coming in, Niederreiter coming in, Luke Cunningham going out. There's a lot to like about what they've done. Like, really, the only move that they've made so far this offseason where I'm just like, huh, was Kevin Lankinen at backup goalie. That's the one where I'm just kind of scratching my head. But other than that, I think they've had a pretty darn good offseason so far. You know, Niederreiter, I had him on a line with Johansson and Tomasino in my little mock lineup I put out there yesterday. It doesn't have to be that way. Like, they could switch it up. He could play with Granlund. I mean, there's options you have if you're John Hines. But the bottom line is, as it stands today, with no other move happening as of yet, five of the six in the top six you feel pretty good about in Johansson, Duchesne, Forsberg, Granlund, and Niederreiter. And we'll see about Tomasino. I assume he's the other one in the top six. Could be Tolvanen, but probably Tomasino. But five of the six you're feeling pretty good about right now.
Right. And certainly hope, you know, for Tomasino to take a jump, and all of a sudden you could look quite a bit different, quite a bit better there. You're better defensively. Better team. Contending team? No. I will say on the contending team thing, a lot of people, I feel like, take this. I guess I understand it. Like, who's the best team? They're in your conference. They just won the cup. You know, does this beat Colorado? I don't know even if you – I mean, if you bring – let's say you bring Tkachuk in here. Are you saying, okay, they are the new favorite over Colorado? I would not say so. But contending, no. I mean, if you're the second best team in your conference, then I think that qualifies. And you would make the case if that happens. Now, the case I would make for the Preds would be, I feel good about them making the playoffs with this lineup.
Yeah.
Like, this year will not be just the geniuses picking the Preds to make the playoffs while everyone else doesn't pick
all them. All us other peasants will join you next year as well.
I think so.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Niederreiter deal on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. You can start the second half of the baseball season the right way and turn K's into cash and big hits into big wins with FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can step up to the plate with a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Just sign up using promo code ROB. Place your first bet, and FanDuel will give you up to $1,000 back in free bets if you don't win. I've told you about the Yankees all year long. I still feel great about them in the second half. I also feel great about the Atlanta Braves as well. They have turned it on, and they have played some really good baseball the past 2 months. That's the direction that I would look, but you take it any way you want to take it. Just make sure you do it on America's number one sportsbook, FanDuel Sportsbook. They've got great promotions every day. The app is safe and secure, and you get paid quickly as well. So download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up using promo code ROB to get started with your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Join 102.5, 106.3 The Game and Newton Motor Group this summer to help kids in Middle Tennessee as we team up with Souls for Souls to provide shoes to children experiencing homelessness in Nashville and the surrounding area. With school coming back, we're taking donations to provide kids with shoes for this school year, but we can't do it without you, so please consider helping however you can by going to thegamenashville.com/shoes. All donations will go directly to Souls for Souls to give shoes to children in Middle Tennessee experiencing homelessness. Let's do some good this summer, and thank you for your help. Once again, and that's thegamenashville.com/shoes. Newton Motor Group, a proud sponsor of Souls for Music City. Newton Motor Group, the best car deals in Nashville start at Newton. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We'll be joined by Greg Wyshynski from ESPN coming up to begin the 9 o'clock hour. We'll get his thoughts on Nino Niederreiter and the Matthew Tkachuk situation as well. So, Joe, that becomes the question. Niederreiter is in the fold. I think it's a good move for the Predators. I think he fits in very nicely with the way that they want to play. The question is, are they done? I mentioned it earlier. Cap Friendly has them at just about $4 million in cap space at their disposal right now. You factor in Yakov Trenin, who may end up going to arbitration. We'll see what happens on that front. But my guess is he's going to end up around in the neighborhood of $2 million per year on his next deal. So really, if you factor in his deal, you got about $2 million in cap space to work with. Do you think the Predators are done? Do you think they should be done? And how big of a priority should the pursuit of Matthew Tkachuk specifically still be for David Poile, in your opinion?
It should be consuming his every moment. I mean, he actually has a chance right now, which I would not have necessarily predicted to be possible. And going into the offseason, we knew what the free agent crop looked like, and there were some names out there, but we knew that it would probably have to be some kind of a deal, a trade, to really shake things up and give this team a vault. This is an incredible opportunity. And not only is it an incredible opportunity, it's an incredible opportunity for some of your top competitors. So it's the double bonus of it's a double bonus or double whammy. You get him, you find a way, and you've got a great player who's young, who's locked up, and you have a core that now we can talk about in terms of contention over a period of time with a lot of caveats there, like, you know, Duchesne going to keep playing like he's playing, all that stuff. But you have a core that now you can actually compare to some of the top cores in the league and say, okay, this team can compete. And then the double whammy, of course, is you don't get him. Very possible that he goes to someone in your division and torments you for years.
Yeah, I love the Niederreiter signing. I think especially at the term and the money you got him, it's great. To me, it doesn't change one iota what the Predators should do moving forward. Now, what it does change is the math. So we talked yesterday about, you know, the cap space that you had, and that was before you handed out a $4 million cap hit to Niederreiter. So you were going to have to move some contracts anyway if Tkachuk was coming in. Well, now with Niederreiter in the fold, like, it tells me a guy like a Granlund or an Ekholm or somebody that's making a lot of money, they have to go out at this point if Tkachuk is coming in. And it doesn't necessarily have to be through Calgary. Like, people keep asking, like, well, will Calgary want this? Well, maybe, maybe not, but it doesn't have to be them. You just have to move money out to someone by the time the season starts and to get under the cap. But it's now become a necessity. Like, those, the idea that we threw out there yesterday of, well, it could be Colton Sissons and it could be, I don't know, Trennan or Janot or Colton Sissons, Fabro, and you clear $5 million there, that's not going to work anymore. It's going to have to be somebody with a more substantial cap hit.
Right. So if it's just one-to-one, just Nashville to Calgary, I think a big question is, do they like Mikael Granlund? Do they, would they have any interest in him? Because obviously you're talking about moving $5 million out. If you could move Granlund and Fabro, that's almost $8 million. But would they have interest in either of them? Again, like you said, there are other ways to do it, get another team involved. But one for one, you talked earlier about Kyrou for St. Louis, who's a very good young player who I would think would be appealing to the Flames in whatever mode they think they're in. That's another question we don't know.
Yeah.
What do they think they are? Do they actually think they can just go with what they have after losing Gaudreau and Tkachuk and still be a playoff team? Or are they looking at more like a rebuild? Either way, Kyrou would be welcomed, I'm sure. I feel like the Preds, you know, then there's all the stuff that, you know, you're trying to move money, but then what do the Flames really want?
You know?
What prospects, how many and how high are the picks? And then to me, the big question is Askarov a necessity? Could Askarov push you over the top? Is Askarov on a complete no-touch list in David Poile's mind? Or do you have to look at that? To me, to get this done and have this team and what it would be, again, without knowing everything going back, I think you have to think about it.
I think it's certainly worth considering for sure. And the other part of this, too, is, you know, it's, we talked about this even before Niederreiter, but you've got Forsberg, who's 27, locked up to a long-term deal. Johansson's about to be 30 in like 9 days. He'll be 30 years old. You've got Josi, 32. Ekholm's in his, you know, lower to mid-30s. A lot of these guys that you've got locked up on long-term deals, Granlund is 31 years old. Like, they're, you have to win now, or you're probably not going to win with them because they're about to get older and their skills are going to start to be on the decline for the most part. Now, I believe Yossi's skills are on the decline, I guess, when I see it at this point.
He's an ace negotiator.
He is an ace negotiator.
He does it all.
No question. He is very close with the leaders, apparently, on this team as well. But I say all that to say, now you've added Niederreiter as well, who's 30. So the core of your team is built to win right now. Now, you can argue whether or not it's built to win a Stanley Cup, and that's a fair argument. But the way you're paying these guys, you want to win right now. Does that not behoove you even more to make a bigger move for a guy like Matthew Tkachuk? I would think it would. That's why I'm not saying that you totally disregard the future. And I think to David Poile's credit, he has generally throughout his career done a pretty good job of trying to do both, of walking the line of making sure your prospect pool is at least somewhat in good shape, but also not being afraid to go for it when the time calls. Like, to me right now, how they position themselves, I think they're back in go-for-it mode in terms of just the way their contracts are set up. And to me, that's why I'd be pushing all the more to go get Matthew Tkachuk.
No, I agree. And I understand the sentiment of, oh, got Niederreiter, okay, so they're going to make the playoffs, and Poile's happy, and yay. Chris in Franklin says, all the complaints about Poile, he's made moves to address the weak areas of the team. It's not earth-shattering, but he's done solid work. I agree. But he actually now has himself in a position to actually go for it. And again, I just didn't know that things would come to this where you actually can look at something that's possible. And again, a lot of this is based on Tkachuk, or I should say sources telling people that, you know, and our reporters at The Athletic that, you know, that Nashville is a team of interest. And Jeremy Rutherford told us yesterday on the show that in the last year, this has definitely come up. So, and it, yeah, I think it makes sense. So you have this opportunity. I think he's put himself, I think the Niederreiter thing puts him right there to now really have a dynamite team next year. There's no way it's going to be easy. I mean, this has got to be, I would think this has got to be frantic yeah. right now with how many teams should be all about getting Matthew Tkachuk.
You would think so. I mean, and, you know, Nolan on the text line asking if there's a timeline for Tkachuk. I mean, I think there is. Like, Jeremy Rutherford put this out there on our show yesterday. His arbitration date, which at the time wasn't known, it is now. It came out yesterday morning. It's August 11th, and it would behoove the Flames, I think, to get that done. If they don't get it done by then, he's going to be playing on a one-year deal. He'll probably make, I don't know, $9.5, $10 million, and that'll be that. Like, it's a one-year deal, and there he is. Now, you could trade him at the deadline, right. I guess, but unless you're trading him to a team at the deadline that you know he 100% will sign an extension with, you're not going to get max value for it.
Yeah, you're so going to get way less there than you will now.
So it would make a whole lot of sense if you're Calgary to get this thing done by August 11th. And quite frankly, like, it will be done.
They will.
By August 11th. It's going to be done.
So I think David Poile has to be absolutely all in. And, yeah, in terms of going for it, he has gone for it, in particular one stretch after they made right around the Stanley Cup final run. And – you know, didn't go well. But that doesn't mean you stop doing it. If you have a chance, that doesn't mean that you hold back now.
No.
It's great. They're going to be in the playoffs next year, I think. That's good. But I think this could be something much more than that.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators, the offseason they've had thus far, and the Matthew Tkachuk situation as well. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.